alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Coming to you live from Mayfair, Jummah Masjid. Inshallah, we shall now be live crossing over to the Jamia Al-Ulum Al-Islamia, 9th Khatam Bukhari Jalsa, inshallah. We will be listening to a few students who will be completing the Bukhari Khatam as well as the final dua, inshallah.
And this student is well known, Sheikh Abdul Hay Al-Kitani is you can find him in this chain. Murtada Al-Zabiri is also found in this chain. In the ijazah that Mufti Saab gives to us, Mufti Saab mentions that between those two scholars and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are only 16 links. So we're talking about the 18th link, less than 20 links between them and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed this is something to be happy and proud about. And this is something that we need to be grateful unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So to remind us of the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, and to recite from the kalamullah, from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we call upon Mawlana Yusuf Palm, one of our graduating students, who inshallah will render a qiraat.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وضرب الله مثلا قرية كانت آمنة مطمئنة يأتيها رزقها رغدا من كل مكان فكفرت بأنعم الله فأذاقها الله لباس الجوع والخوف بما كانوا يصنعون ولقد جاءهم رسول منهم فكذبوه فأخذهم العذاب وهم ظالمون فكلوا مما رزقكم الله حلالا طيبا واشكروا نعمة الله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فإن الله غفور رحيم ولا تقولوا لما تصف ألسنتكم الكذب هذا حلال وهذا حرام لتفتروا على الله الكذب إن الذين يفترون على الله الكذب لا يفلحون متاع قليل ولهم عذاب أليم وعلى الذين هادوا حرمنا ما قصصنا عليك من قبل وما ظلمناهم ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون ثم إن ربك للذين عملوا السوء بجهالة ثم تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا إن ربك من بعدها لغفور رحيم إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يك من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين إنما جعل السبت على الذين اختلفوا فيه وإن ربك ليحكم بينهم يوم القيامة فيما فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون ادع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين وإن عاقبتم فعاقبوا بمثل ما عوقبتم به ولئن صبرتم لهو خير للصابرين واصبر وما صبرك إلا بالله ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تك في ضيق مما يمكرون إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون صدق الله العظيم.
جزاكم الله خيرا for that wonderful recitation, and I think I would like to commend him for his selection of these verses. It is very relevant to the occasion that we find ourselves in today. And in this momentous event, alhamdulillah, because there are many points of inspiration that we can draw from these verses. The theme of these verses is that of shukr and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws a parable of a city, which probably is Makkatul Mukarramah, where the people enjoyed, the inhabitants enjoyed security and safety, and they were ungrateful for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. And the consequence of that was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their favorable circumstance of security and safety to that of ju' and khawf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very eloquently there mentions that Allah clothed them with fear and with hunger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word libas, because it was attached to them. It was something that they were enveloped with. And it refers to greed. It can also refer to greed. When we speak about hunger, greed is the most terrible form of punishment, where a person is never satiated. The point of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed today, we wish to express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great favor of honoring us to be in this path, and to be amongst this legacy, amongst the people of this legacy, this great legacy that we were speaking about. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions there that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in the verses that were recited, he adopted certain characteristics that awarded him the careful selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of these characteristics that he associated himself with and that he adopted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him and Allah guided him. If we want to be chosen and we want to be selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this noble purpose of disseminating the knowledge of nubuwwah, the knowledge of this inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we need to anoint ourselves with those characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam kana ummatan, he was comprehensively an ummah in one person. He was imaman jami'an li khisal al khayr. He was a person who comprehensively was involved in the various fields of deen and of disseminating this knowledge and of serving the community. In the same way, those that are qualifying today and other scholars as well, like ourselves, we should also adopt this characteristic, that we should apply ourselves in the different fields of the service of the community and of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the same time, qanita, qanit, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, mudiman ala ita'ati rabbihi, he consistently was an obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shakiran li an'umih, he was grateful for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we express this gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this favor, this mantle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon us? In fact, it is a responsibility which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on our shoulders. which we have now, which today will shoulder, it will be manifested. And how will we be able to fulfill that responsibility? We have to be grateful. We have to show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by adopting the way and the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And if a person has these qualities, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will confer upon this person his selection and his divine guidance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist the person in fulfilling the task that he was given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions here, and it's very pertinent and relevant, and I feel it needs to be highlighted, is that in fulfilling this responsibility, he recited, اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. That we have to call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ. Not call unto ourselves, not market ourselves, but market the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how will we do this? We will do this in a way that is بِالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Mawidah means we have well-wishing in our heart for those that we are working with compassion, with love, without humiliating anyone, without having a condescending attitude. We will call people unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil mawidatil hasana. And if it happens that we have to engage in a debate and we have to prove ourselves, wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan, then the way that we will adopt in our debate will be that which is objective, and we will do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about mujadala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about this, He speaks about this in the context of Ahlul Kitab. That even when you're dealing, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ, even when you're dealing with the people of the book, then you debate with them in a way with decorum, with wisdom, with dignity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِالطَّرِيقَةِ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, with a way that is better. We should show the best of ways when we debate. That means whatever we say must be evidence from Quran and the Sunnah, and we must have the compassion of those that we call unto. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that along this path, what will happen is that you will be tested. ثُمَّ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لِلَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ. And sometimes you will make mistakes. But the word that is used here is jahala, not jahal. Jahal is the absence of knowledge. Here jahala is used. Jahala means you have the knowledge, but at that particular moment, you forgot about that particular injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if that ever happens, ثُمَّ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا, immediately they realize, they regret what they have done. They acknowledge their faults. They acknowledge their weaknesses. وَأَصْلَحُوا, and they don't stop there. They reform themselves. And then they find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be extremely merciful and forgiving unto them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there, وَصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That in this path of disseminating the knowledge of Nubuwwah, you will also find great difficulty and challenge. And when you find those difficulties, then wasbir, adopt patience. And your patience will only be as a manifestation of the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And your sabr should only also be for Allah. One is your sabr will come from Allah, but then your sabr should also be only for the sake of Allah. And then you will find the success that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam enjoyed. Inshallah, our next item will be an English lecture by a student who was born in South Africa, but then left the shores of South Africa at the age of 2 and came back, alhamdulillah, after going through the corporate world, came back and found himself at the Jami'a. And I'll put a disclaimer already. I said English, an English lecture, although the accent may differ, but inshallah we'll all understand. So there won't be a need for translation. Nadir Abdullah, please come forward. Maulana Nadir Abdullah, please come forward.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yassirli amri wahlul uqtatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. respected ulama, honorable khuffad, elders, dearest listeners. The greatest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us is this bounty of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورديت لكم الإسلام دينا. This day I have perfected for you your religion, I've completed my favors upon you, and I've selected Islam as your deen. Each one of us sitting here today, we recognize that this iman is the greatest bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the key component to our success in this world and in the next. But what does it mean to say amanna? What does it mean to say I believe? What is iman? Mufti Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned in Ma'riful Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning verses of Surah Baqarah brings a comprehensive definition of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says yu'minuna bil ghayb, that they believe in the unseen. Mufti Sab mentions that if we understand these two words, then we'll understand the reality of iman. He then goes on to explain, if we take the word iman, if we look at it lexically, linguistically, the meaning of iman is to accept the statement of somebody with complete certainty, having total trust and reliance and confidence in the statement and in the one saying the statement, without the need for reason or logic. So if someone was to merely endorse somebody's statement based on their senses, based on their observation, this actually wouldn't be iman. So iman, in terms of the Sharia, when we say I believe, we accept everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has brought with complete confidence in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his teachings, without the need for any logic or reasoning. Imam Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned that the foundation of iman is submission and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person is not happy with submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he'll be veiled of a pure understanding of monotheism and sound faith. He'll veer between denial and acceptance. He won't be a true believer, nor will he be a defiant disbeliever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ahzab, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنْ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَى, that once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger decide a matter, then there's no choice after that for a believing woman or man. This is a clear statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that once the Sharia has ruled something, we close our minds, we quieten our mouths, and we submit to the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, the Muslims are going through a very difficult time, a time in which our submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seriously being tested. A time in which we have to be very aware of our thoughts, our objections, and our questions to any ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ideology of today is to question everything. At the end of every statement is the question why? What's the reason? What's the hikmah behind this? And if something doesn't conform to our logic and to our reason, then seeds of skepticism are sown in our hearts and mind. This is a very dangerous place for a believer to be. Many Muslims we're seeing in our society who are having serious objections to the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are giving preference to the demands of Western society. They are dissatisfied with some of the rulings of matters such as inheritance, divorce, segregation, gender segregation, Islamic dress code. And they are making such statements that are very dangerous and detrimental to their iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He describes the disbelievers in Surah Muhammad, He says, ذَٰلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنْزَرَ اللَّهُ, that is because they dislike that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has descended. So these objections, these questions that we have against some of the ahkam, the rulings of Islam, some of the statements we are making, they're very dangerous for us. Each one of us sitting here today, none of us would openly oppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all know the importance of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to ask ourselves the question, why is it these thoughts, why is these objections coming into our mind? We have to understand that we are subservient to our environment. We are subservient intellectually, emotionally, to our environment and its ideologies. Constantly we are being bombarded, whether it be through the educational system, through the media, with thoughts and ideas that are against Islam. Islam has become the focal point for the world. All attention is on Islam, because it is the only true religion. Every other deen has failed and conformed. Islam is the only deen that can challenge the false ideologies of the world, and for this reason all energy and focus is on breaking it. So these objections we have in our mind, these questions we have in our mind, we must be very careful. Shaitan will continue to sow seeds of skepticism in our mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and warned us, لَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيُهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِيَ مِلَّتُهُمْ, that the Yahud, the Nasara, will not stop until you're happy, and they will not be happy until you follow their deen. So how can we combat this? How can we overcome these difficulties that we're going through? The main way is to develop an Islamic mind. We must think Islamically. How do we do this? Firstly, we must create an environment that has foundation in knowledge. Each one of us, we must know our deen. We must live our deen. We must never jeopardize the Islamic education of our children. This is their link to deen. This is what's shaping out their minds. Also, very important is we have a look, where are we taking our ilm? Where are we taking our knowledge from? What is the source? Did we do any background research? What is this institution like? What is this person like? What is their ideologies? Who are their teachers? We can't just take our deen from anywhere. This is one of the most important aspects of our life. Also, we must build a connection with somebody who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, if you just sit in the company of someone who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll see many of these objections will disappear from your mind. Then we must know that these questions, these objections, these thoughts that creep into our mind, this is normal. Each one of us has this. This is the trap of shaitan. The Sahaba radiallahu anh, they also had these thoughts. And they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they informed him, Ya Rasulullah, we have such thoughts in our mind that we would hate to bring onto our tongue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked them, Do you really get these thoughts? They said, yes. He said, ذَلِكَ الصَّرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ, this is clear iman. A robber is not going to come to somebody with an empty pocket. So we must understand that these thoughts are from shaitan. And when we get these thoughts, we must dismiss them not as our own thoughts and seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If these thoughts continue, then we seek help from the ulama. Wallahi, Islam is the only deen of truth, and all the answers, it has all the answers to your question. So if these questions, if these doubts continue, seek help. Lastly, we must put our faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our logic, our understanding is very limited. There's only a certain distance our logic can reach. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu knew this. And when he was informed about the travels of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the seven heavens, he asked, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this? They said yes. He said, then it's true. So we have to accept that our logic is limited. Each one of us sitting here today, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only mission, only fikr was for his ummah until his last breath. So we must know and we must have yaqeen that what he left for us is what's best for us in this world and in the next. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
جزاكم الله خيرا once again for that most relevant and pertinent advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imbibe us to practice upon whatever was mentioned. carrying along with the theme that I started with, and that was the theme of sacrifice of our pious predecessors in pursuit of this knowledge of Deen. When we look at this field, that we are enjoying the fragrance of its flowers, we are enjoying the taste and the color of its wonderful fruits. Those seeds were planted and were seen to and irrigated by much sacrifice. Sometimes it was irrigated by the humility of the scholars, lowering themselves, making sacrifice for the sake of pursuit of knowledge. We sometimes find a person like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, being the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enjoying such proximity to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet he humbles himself. We find him at the door of another sahabi, another companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, atawassadu, he would make the door, atawassadu ridai, he would make his shawl, the pillow, at the door of that particular companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tusfi alayya min al-rih, and the wind would blow the desert, the sand of the desert of Medina Munawwara upon the face of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, whilst he was waiting for that companion to come out. He didn't even have, you know, he didn't pluck the courage to call out that companion, to knock at the door and say that I want knowledge from you. But he waited for the companion to come out after he had slept for the afternoon siesta, and then he would accompany him and take knowledge from him. Sometimes we will notice a person like Imam Malik rahimahullah spending the entire night in pursuit of knowledge, and therefore we benefiting from his muwatta of Imam Malik, his muwatta. When we look at it, Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim rahimahullah, one of the outstanding students of Imam Malik rahimahullah, he mentions that I used to come to Imam Malik rahimahullah at the time of ghalas, when it was dark before Fajr. So one morning, before dawn, I came to Imam Malik rahimahullah and I fell asleep. And the slave girl woke me up and she said to me that your Mawla, your master, has already departed. So I woke up with a shock and I went to look for Imam Malik rahimahullah in the masjid. And she said to me on my way that you are ghafil, you are negligent, but he is not ghafil. He is 49 years old, but qallama, very little would you find him spending the entire night in sleep. Very little would you find him spending the night in sleep. Imam Tabarani rahimahullah, a scholar who lived for over 100 years, from 260 to 360. The students know how we remember that. We speak about his revolution. He wrote the Ma'ajim, Al-Mu'jam al-Saghir, Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, Al-Mu'jam al-Awsat. So he covered a whole revolution. He passed away in 360. Anyway, he lived for over 100 years. He says that for 30 years, 30, for 30 years, he slept ala al-Bawari, upon a straw mat. Why? He didn't want to go into a deep slumber and miss the seeking of knowledge, the opportunity of seeking of knowledge. Sometimes this field of this inheritance and this legacy of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was watered by means of faqr and intense poverty. Yahya ibn Ma'in, and a sacrifice of wealth as well. When we speak about poverty, there's a beautiful poem that says, قُلْتُ لِلْفَقْرِ أَيْنَ أَنْتَ مُقِيمُ. I said to faqr, where will you reside? Where do you reside? قَالَ لِي فِي عَمَائِمِ الْفُقَهَاءِ. He said to me, in the imama of the fuqaha. And faqr said, إِنَّ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُمْ لَإِخَاءَ. That I have a close relationship with the fuqaha. And عَزِيزٌ عَلَيَّ تَرْكُ الْإِخَاءِ. That it's very difficult for me, burdensome for me, to leave the fuqaha, to leave the scholars. That means faqr will always be with the scholars. Poverty will always be with them. Yahya ibn Ma'in rahimahullah, his father left a great inheritance for him. If we look at it, it's over a million dirhams. A million dirhams. They say he spent all of it, حَتَّى لَمْ يَبْقَى لَهُ النَّعْلِ. So much so that he didn't even have shoes left. He spent all of that for hadith. This was a sacrifice that the scholars gave to bring this legacy to us. And that's what we're seeing today. So we call upon our final year students, inshallah, who will render to us their sentiments and what they feel in the form of a poem. We ask them to grace us with their presence on the stage. Jazakumullah khairan.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عبير العطار في الأطراف ساري أنيق رفقتي ختم البخاري فخير سار في الطلاب طرا فهذا فضل ربي في الديار عبير العطار في الأطراف ساري أنيق رفقتي ختم البخاري فخير سار في الطلاب طرا فهذا فضل ربي في الديار وروح هب في الأرواح وهم لأهل جميعة خير الفخار وروح هب في الأرواح وهم لأهل جميعة خير الفخار شربنا من زلال الدين ما ونهر العلم في جوبر الغجار عبير العطر في الأطراف ساري أنيق رفقتي ختم البخاري فخير سار في الطلاب طرا فهذا فضل ربي في الديار ويجزي الله خلاق البرايا مشايخنا بنشر من دراري ويجزي الله خلاق البرايا مشايخنا بنشر من دراري وندعو ربنا ربا كريما ليرزق كلهم دار القرار عبير العطار في الأطراف ساري أنيق رفقتي ختم البخاري فخير سار في الطلاب طرا فهذا فضل ربي في الديار حديقتنا حديقة علم دين عقود الدر تلمع في نضاري حديقتنا حديقة علم دين عقود الدر تلمع في نضاري إلهي ارفع لهذه الدار قدرا رفيعا في الليالي والنهار عبير العطار في الأطراف ساري أنيق رفقتي ختم البخاري فخير سار في الطلاب طرا فهذا فضل ربي في الديار
جزاكم الله خيرا. جزاكم الله خيرا for that. My apologies, we had shifted the student's poem, inshallah, to the next session. جزاكم الله خيرا to Maulana Yusuf for affording us that. Inshallah, we can't forget our stakeholders and those that were instrumental in facilitating the studies and the learning and teaching at our madrasa. So we will call upon Mawlana Ilyas Ishaq, who is one of the graduating students, and he will tell us his sentiments and share his sentiments with us, inshallah, in the Arabic language. And thereafter, there will be a translation by Mawlana Riyad Lahir, and we will move further from there.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي امتن علينا بترفيعنا من طور الجهل إلى نبي منصة الكرم، والصلاة والسلام على محمد النبي الذي ورثنا أعلى ما ينال به الفراسة والحكم، وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين تسلقوا من خذيان الرذائل إلى مكارم الشيم. أما بعد، فإن حكمة الله اقتضت أن يكون العنصر الأساسي في البشر مشتمل على الأجسام والأرواح، فنسق لحياة الجسم وتنميته وتنميقه مراعاة يشتهي العقل بها، مراعاة مشفقة صادقة، وهي مراعاة الأبوين التي تختص بهما مهما يكونا. فتدبروا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يجزي ولد والده إلا أن يجده مملوكا فيشتريه فيعتقه. وقوله تعالى: حملته أمه كرها ووضعته كرها وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا. ولم ينظر ربنا جل وعلا لحياة الجسم فحسب، بل نسق لحياة الروح وتدبيجه وتهذيبه مراعاة إصلاحية حقيقية، وهي مراعاة المعلم للمتعلم. فيا لها من مراعاة. قال علي كرم الله وجهه: الناس كلهم موتى وأهل العلم أحياء. فتنطق أول آية نزلت على الرسول الأمين بتعليم الله عز وجل لعباده ما لم يعلموا، وتذكر القلم وسيلة الكتابة وحفظ العلم ونقله وآلة التعبير عما يجول في الخواطر، فقال عز من قائل: الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. وإنا لنجد دعوة القرآن الكريم إلى العلم والرفع من شأنه مبثوثة في كثير من آياته. قال تعالى: قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون؟ وقال تعالى: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. ورفع مكانة العلماء في قوله عز وجل: يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. ولسنا هنا بصدد إحصاء وعرض آيات العلم التي وردت في القرآن الكريم، فإن المقام لا يتسع لذلك. ولعل خير ما يبرز لنا هذا الجانب هو الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، الذي كان الرائد الأول في تطبيق الإسلام. فقد حض الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام على طلب العلم فقال: من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. ومنزلة العلماء من أرفع المنازل في الإسلام بنص قول الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام: العلماء ورثة الأنبياء، وكفانا حث الإسلام على احترام أهل العلم على لسان سيدنا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأزكى التسليم. ليس من أمتي من لم يجل كبيرنا ويرحم صغيرنا ويعرف لعالمنا حقه. وقال: من غدا إلى المسجد لا يريد إلا أن يتعلم خيرا أو يعلمه كان له كأجر حاج تاما حجته. أخو العلم حي خالد بعد موته، وأوصاله تحت التراب رميم، وذو الجهل ميت وهو ماش على الثرى يغن من الأحياء وهو عديم. فهذا فيطيبني ويسعدني أن أقدم لكل من قام بمراعاتي ومد لي يد العون طيلة إقامتي في جامعة العلوم الإسلامية، ومهد لي السبيل إلى هذا الصرح العالي. شكرا جزيلا وتقديرا غزيرا من جذر قلبي بالإصالة عن نفسي ونيابة عن زملائي بمقتضى ما رواه الترمذي عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن صادق المسطوط صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله. فأقول: جزاكم الله بالدارين خيرا، والله يكافئ الجميع ويسري إليهم كل خير، فهو ولي التوفيق. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and salutations upon His beloved messenger, the speaker then says that it is by the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has created the human being in such a unique form that it is the demand and requirement of the human being to be made up of two fundamental components, and that is the physical and the spiritual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has catered for our physical needs in terms of its development and augmentation by means, and has therefore created for us parents. So much indebted we are to our parents that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no child can ever repay his father unless maybe he finds him enslaved, then buys him and sets him free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the sacrifice of the mother. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهَا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهَا وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. His mother bore him with much difficulty, and his mother gave birth to him with much pain. His birth and his weaning took 30 months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also catered for our spiritual needs in terms of its refinement, its enhancement, and its maintenance through a proper and correct reformation system, and has therefore blessed us with teachers. In the first, it was a bond which was shared between the parent and the child. However, in this case, it is a bond which is shared between the teacher and the student. So valuable is that knowledge which is passed on from the teacher to the student that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had highlighted it in the very first revelation of Iqra. And not only has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attached value to knowledge in itself, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also attached value to all those things by which knowledge is attained. عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, and He has taught men by the pen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed many verses with regards to the virtues of knowledge. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, can those who have knowledge ever be equated to those who have no knowledge? يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah has elevated those who believe, but Allah has raised those who believe and have knowledge by many, many ranks. And what better way is there to understand these virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about other than to look at it in the light of the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a lofty status to the ulama enjoy that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed the ulama are the inheritors of the prophets. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, he is not from amongst us, the one who shows no respect to our elders, and the one who shows no mercy to our young, and the one who does not recognize the rights of an alim. Bearing in mind all these virtues, we would like to express gratitude to all those who have been a means of us attaining knowledge at Jami' al-Ulum al-Islamiyyah. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. The one who is not grateful to people, then it will be very difficult for such a person to be grateful to Allah. And lastly, we say, جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا فِي الدَّارَيْنِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with the best in both worlds. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Jazakumullahu khairah for that. It reminds us of an incident. You know, many a times we bring our sons to the Darul Ulum, and when we look at the career path and the choice that they are making, we have many fears, and we are anxious, we have anxiety, and so much so it comes to the point, I remember when I embarked on this journey, one of my close family members said to me, how will you eat? And I think my stomach bears witness to the opposite. But anyway, it reminds us of the life of Imam Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah, the student of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. His father passed away, and his mother assigned him to a bleacher, to a qassar. And he used to go to the qassar so that he could earn a few coins that could assist his mother. But what used to happen is, he was enticed by the majalis and the gatherings of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So he would slip away to the gatherings of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. His mother would come, she would find him there, she would grab his hand and take him back home, and take him back to the bleacher and tell him that he needs to earn and work so that he can assist her. And this continued for a while until it was becoming too much for the mother. She comes to the teacher Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and says that, what are you doing? My child, this is the story, this is the situation. He needs to be earning, he needs to help me. He doesn't have a father. Imam Abu Hanifa said, هو ذا يتعلم أكل الفالوذج بدهن الفستق. That there's he there, he's learning how to eat a delicacy, a dessert, فالوذج, that is infused with pistachio oil. So she thought he had lost his mind. She said to him, have you lost your mind? What are you saying to me? Years later, Imam Yaqub Abu Yusuf rahimahullah says that he used to eat on the tables and the sufra of the great leaders of the time, one of them being Harun al-Rashid. He finds himself at the Dastar Khan of Harun al-Rashid. And Harun al-Rashid tells him that eat, because we don't generally have this type of delicacy, and this food is not made every day. And what was it? It was faludhaj that was mixed biduhnil fustuq. So he says that this was the realization of, so he laughed and he smiled to himself. When Harun al-Rashid saw this, Harun al-Rashid asked him that, why are you smiling? Why do you have a sinister look on your face? So he says, I'm smiling to myself because I'm thinking about what happened with my mother and Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. When he mentioned this, Harun al-Rashid said to him that, لَعَمْرِي إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ لَيَرْفَعُ وَيَنْفَعُ دِينًا وَدُنْيَا. That this knowledge is such, it has the potential of raising a person's status, not only in this world, and assisting a person not only in this world, but also in the hereafter. So it assists the person in this world and in the hereafter. And then he said, Rahimahullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. كان ينظر بعين أقله ما لا يراه بعين رأسه. That he used to think with his heart, such that he would not see with his physical eyes. That means he couldn't see it at that time. Imam Abu Yusuf was in poverty. He didn't have a father to look after him. But he had a basira, he had an inner sight, and he had foresight, and he envisaged where this person will reach. And that's what he was looking at. He was looking at the outcome. He was not looking at the current circumstance. And in line with what I just mentioned now, every institution needs someone with a mission and a vision. And someone that has the ability to strategically direct the institution towards achieving certain outcomes and objectives. And alhamdulillah, we have amongst us members of our board of the Jami'ah, as well as our principal, who's also a member of the board of the Jami'ah, Maulana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. We ask Maulana to grace us and to give us advice, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. Abundant salutations and praises upon Allah's choicest of creations, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The shura, management and staff of the Jamia Ulum al-Islamiyah, we extend a warm welcome to you to this 9th Bukhari Khatam and Jalsa. Alhamdulillah, the Jamia has now concluded its 14th academic year, and alhamdulillah has grown in its standing, quality and degree of excellence over this period. Alhamdulillah. The Jamia continuously to strive to equip its students with the necessary development and knowledge to encounter the many challenges in the vast and continuously changing world. It is the vision and mission of the Jamia since its inception to produce scholars, ulama, who will be assets to our society that we exist in, and to serve as positive contributors to the development of mankind in general. Whilst the principal's address would generally be regarding the Jamia, I have opted to take this opportunity of sharing one of the visions among many of our fledgling institution. Beloved friends, the current climate in our country, and in fact globally, has led to the adoption of various approaches in the Muslim academic space. At the Jamia, we wish to create the type of student best suited to manage and navigate and lead in the situations we see at hand. And for this, I have a very special message to our young graduating ulama. Apart from the statistics and the matters of the current academic year at the Jamia, which is in the leaflet before you, which you can read at your leisure, allow me, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say the right things and expand on a very important challenge that we face as ulama in our current environment. An important challenge that we face as ulama is managing our differences in a manner that befits those endowed with the knowledge of Nubuwa. Firstly, let's acknowledge that differences among people should not be regarded as inherently good or bad. Sometimes, differences result in important benefits. However, sometimes they may become very disruptive, depending on how we handle these differences. The way we handle these differences will either reduce or promote the overall effectiveness
to Radio Islam, Media Wave 1588.
Due to certain decisions that the government had taken, Maulana Asad, rahimahumullah, gave an unequivocal support to the then Prime Minister of India, Indira Gandhi, and he also gave himself up for imprisonment. This alim that related this to me says that he was sitting in a gathering where someone came to Qari Tayyab Sahib rahimahumullah, and he began speaking of this incident and even mentioned that how could Maulana Asad Sahib give such support to a lady prime minister who is not even a Muslim. And people that were aware of this, some form of differences between Qari Sahib and Maulana Asad Sahib, wanted to observe the reaction of Qari Tayyab Sahib. And Qari Tayyab Sahib raised his head and said, "This may be siyasi maslihat hai. There is political expediency in this too." Subhanallah. My beloved friend, I might be taking some time, but unfortunately today, there are lots of us as young ulama, that when we see there are some differences between some of our senior ulama, we use this opportunity to go to the senior ulama and go and complain about what is happening. Firstly, that's inadequate. And secondly, let our senior ulama learn from the senior ulama who we've learned from how to manage these differences that erupt, and sometimes that we add salt to the engine. One of the things we have to do is, my beloved learners, to put an end to creating barriers and factionalism. It is your responsibility to ensure that you, students of this jamia, will always work towards showing respect to every learned alim of this globe. Show respect for everyone. Abstain from factionalism. No matter which alim we look at, we must feel within ourselves that he is a member of our fraternity and is one of us. The situation at present is that if we differ on even a single issue with someone, we sever contact with him. This is not what the Jamia has trained you for. How can we disregard the thousands of excellences in certain ulama just because of this one or a few points of differences? He may be well from the Ahlullah. We do not know what the rank holds in Allah's sight. We cast these factors aside and look at everything in such an alim in a negative way. Ashraf, Maulana Ashraf, many times in the class we used to ask, how do we handle this? Because this was of concern to you people. And I might not have explained it much at that time. Remember, show respect to every alim. Sometimes we oppose people on every issue. We search for faults in everything related to them. And sometimes we even start backbiting each other to such an extent that no one's honor is left untarnished and the situation worsens towards even accusations. My dear friends, the first point is to put an end to fanaticism and factionalism. The second point is that we must respect each other. We must respect our elders, respect our juniors, and respect our contemporaries. If we differ with someone on a certain point, it must not result in a gulf between us. Yes, we may have a difference on a certain issue, but interacting with a person, meeting him with respect, and so on, must continue. We must maintain sentiments of concern and fellow feeling with each other. We have to consider full respect for each other. We are harming ourselves, ulama, by not respecting each other. If we are not going to respect each other and do not have noble thoughts about each other, we will be causing harm to our own self. And this is because all the ulama are like one body. Every alim is part of our body. If we cut him off, we will be harming ourselves. Mutual respect increases the respect for everyone. My dear fellow colleagues, both these personalities who I've mentioned are our elders, and we look up to them with respect. It is difficult to understand for us to understand their selflessness, and it is incumbent upon each one of us to begin displaying the selflessness that they have displayed for us to learn from. Finally, we would like to extend our appreciation to our honorable guest, Speaker Mufti Ibrahim Saleh Sahab, for attending and blessing this Jalsa. Your presence here gives us support. Your presence here is greatly appreciated by all of us here at the Jamia Ulum Islamia and the Jamiat al-Ulama of South Africa. Also, all the Asatiza for their continued efforts throughout the year. In particular, Mufti Ismail Saab, who tirelessly used to come every morning, early in the morning, to come and teach our learners. May Allah reward you, Mufti Saab, and may Allah make this a means of all our salvation. Mufti Radawul Haq Saab, who had also taught our learners, and Maulana Shabir Saluti Saab. In fact, at this moment, let's make dua for Maulana Mumtazul Haq Rahimahumullah. When he had passed on, it was the encouragement of Mufti Radawul Haq to Maulana Mansur that you need to go to your home and teach at Jamia Ulum al-Islamiyah. Maulana Mansur, you have brought with you great encouragement and stability to our Jamia. We say Jazakumullahu Khair to you. The Shura for the support and guidance. And here I would like to express a very special appreciation to our Amir, Maulana Abbas Ali Jina, Maulana Muhammad Ayub Tajwi, Maulana Abbas Zubair Ali, the President of the Jamia, the Jamiat, and the two Vice Presidents, Maulana Ayub and Maulana Abbas, for giving us the support and du'as, and allowing us an opportunity to be of service to the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of you, our well wishes, for availing yourselves to witness this auspicious occasion. In addition, we would like to express our gratitude to all the parents of our students for entrusting us with your children, the trustees, imams, and musallis of the Mayfair Jumma Masjid, for your support and assistance. We also take this opportunity, sometimes we forget, to thank the parking and security team for availing themselves to assist us today, and anyone else who has contributed to making this occasion a resounding success. We acknowledge your efforts. We pray that Almighty bless you and reward you for your time and effort. Jazakumullahu khair wa ahsanu jaza.
Take the advice of Maulana Mansur al-Hafsa. The request of Maulana Mansur is that we come forward, inshallah. And a special request to the Asatiza of the Jamia, if you could come forward as well. Jazakumullahu khairah to our principal for that advice and the thanks as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we implement, that He gives us the ability to implement the pertinent advice that was given by the respected Mawlana. Alhamdulillah, at the Jamia we are fortunate, as Mawlana alluded to, that we benefit from various streams of knowledge. Just for the lecturing of Sahih al-Bukhari alone, we have four streams of knowledge. Amongst those four streams of knowledge is an outstanding figure and scholar who travels perhaps over 80 kilometers in one day together with other travels to teach Sahih al-Bukhari at three different venues. A graduate of Darul Ulum Dioban, a Khalifa of Mufti Mahmoud Sahib, rahimahullah, one who has established the first girls Darul Ulum in South Africa in 1985. None other than Mufti Ismail Abdul Rahim Sahib, Tamat Barakatuhum. Inshallah, Mufti Sahib will be rendering some advice for the next 30 minutes or so. Alhamdulillah, we're doing well for time. After that, we'll have a 10-minute break, and then we will continue with the second session of our Jalsa. Jazakumullah khair.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على النبي بعده. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. One of the brothers and Muslim friends, much that I was supposed to say has already been echoed most dynamically, most impressively, and most effectively by our principal, Hazrat Maulana Zaheer Ravi Sahib. May Allah Ta'ala reward him. He has practically left me with no words. So I just don't know where to start and where to end. However, it's nothing to be added. It's just one or two points. As I see, we have two sets of personalities before us. One is the audience that made themselves available most generously for this morning, and the other are our graduates. One or two advices to our audience before we can even address our students. The holy verse that I have recited of the Quran translates, O believers, enter into Islam thoroughly. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ and don't follow the footsteps of the shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ He is your avowed enemy. This verse emphasizes on entering into the fold of Islam thoroughly and not partially. Is this message we can go back home with? Because most of the Muslim world today, all around, are contented on recital of the Quran, performing Salat, the ibadat point of view, from the muamalat point of view, certainly we are remote. Much has been neglected
which the Quran Pak has described, نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ. We believe in part and we disbelieve in the other part. Actually, this is what, in a layman's language, it is called a cafeteria mentality, where we pick what we need and we leave what we do not need. In the meantime, Islam entirely is to be picked and nothing at all is to be discarded. This is all the more important in this part of the world, the southern tip of Africa, where we have an opportunity, the most precious opportunity Allah Ta'ala has granted us, to convey the message of Islam to the indigenous community. Right away now, it is not even given a secondary attention. Not even a secondary attention. And we ourselves are not portraying the religion whereby they could be impressed. So much are we still lacking. Just yesterday, day before yesterday, a brother phones me and he says that his uncle died and he had taken a loan, unfortunately, for gambling. 2 million rand. The creditor now is claiming 2 million plus. How much plus, he did not tell me. So this person said to the creditor, that means that you are charging interest. She took offense. He said, don't insult me. Don't tell me it is interest. It is my profit. Call it whatever you want to. It will not make any difference in the light of the Sharia. سيأتي على الناس زمان يشربون الخمر يسمونه بغير اسمها كما قال النبي عليه السلام. A time will come when people will be consuming liquor, giving it different label. So it's no more liquor. Call it dividends, call it profit, whatever, at the end of the day, we should not forget, in the grave we are going to be all alone. It's going to be between us and the Almighty, and reality will speak. Even if we have to turn and twist. This is actually what I'm referring to, the mu'amalat, to our dealings. Our commercial life, social life, how is it really being conducted? And another incident, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, the person took a loan or there was some type of a dealing transaction between two persons, approximately 350,000 rand. The creditor thereafter was died. And these debtors are still holding their money, rolling it. Then they came to the children of the marhum and said, after this lengthy period, you have your pulses on the indexes better than I. That such a big figure of 350,000 plus minus, he comes after 20, 25 years to the children of the marhum that I am planning to go for Hajj. I would like to be clean before I go. Therefore, I came to pay you your 350,000 I was owing your father. My respected friend, you are coming after such a lengthy period when you rolled their money so many times, you made millions out of it, and now you want to go for Hajj being clean. However, there was no opportunity and chance of charging any interest on that, but where is the consciousness? Why could it not be paid earlier? We will be accountable for all. My respected friend, South Africa is, as I've been saying, although we got a new South Africa, as they call it, wallah, you and I, we have an opportunity to make it a brand new South Africa. Our masjids, alhamdulillah, are flashing. It is decorating the city of Johannesburg. If you have to remove the masjid, Johannesburg will become a ghost town. We are doing, playing our own. We are getting established. We have greater opportunities after today. The world of Kufra has brought Islam onto the market already. From 9-11. Islam was unknown to anyone. It was a religion among the religions. Now, it is been highlighted as a religion or the religion. They brought it onto the market, you could not bring it. We should now capitalize on it. We should now go forward, take it further from here. Irrespective of how they have to frame it, and immaterial how they have to phrase it. Looking for different titles, this is a sign of batil, falsehood. That before they can embark on any venture, they open the dictionary to see what will be the most suitable word. Will extremism work out here? Was fundamentalism work of interest to communities? What terrorism will be the right term? This is how they start off with. This is a sign of butlan. Irrespective, Allah Jalla Shanuhu has named Huwa Sama Subul Muslimin. He, either Allah or Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, has entitled you Muslimin, the community of salamat and peace. We are not terrorists. Allah Ta'ala has made us an ummah of salat. Respected friends, while everyone, other communities and other religions are only floating. And I don't mean it only literally, I really mean in reality. They are surviving, they are floating, managing to remain existing existence. Islam is not here to float. Islam is here to assert itself and make its presence known to one and all. That is our deen, to which we belong and to which is our allegiance. Islam is dedication, sacrifice of health, wealth and time, and suppression of our ego. It is like a boat which we put it into the river. Other religions don't have to row that boat. It will go in direction of the current and the flow. Place the boat, sit on it, and the current will take it in whichever direction, whether east or west. The current does the job for them. The eagle says, you need to continue liquor, fine. Come into our region, we supply you the liquor as well. What about gambling? That is also fine and everything. Which Allah Ta'ala says, La taqrabu zina, don't ever draw close to zina. That is number one, they say, draw close. They are creating opportunities and providing those incentives in order to promote zina in the world. Whereas Allah Jalla Shastu said that, La, don't do that. La ta'kulu riba, don't ever come close and don't consume interest. Here it is been reversed. Whatever Allah says la, they say yes. Allah says aqimu salata wa atu zakat, they say no. The yes of Islam is been converted to what no, and the no's of Islam into yes. La taqrabu al-zina, la tashrabu al-khamra, la taakulu al-maita, la taakulu al-khinzira, la taqrabu ma'al al-yatimi. All the laws, the negatives, the no's, is been conveniently changed. Which means that it is a fight against divine laws and rules. Surely it comes to you and I to say, where do we stand and how do we perform? Respected friends, Islam is not supposed to be restricted to your homes and to your masjids and madaris. It is a religion that announces itself, its supremacy on the minaret of the world, 5 times a day. Only Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allah. 4 times in the beginning, only Allah is great. And only Allah is great. Indicating to the 4 directions of the world, Allah is greater than the east and Allah is greater than the west. Allah is greater than the north and Allah is greater than the south. That is where your call, Allahu Akbar, our Muazzin announces in the beginning. And towards the end, he repeats it 2 times. Allahu Akbar, Allah. Allah is greater than the sky, and Allah is greater than the earth. The entire globe has been already enveloped in the kibriya of Allah, in the grandeur of Allah Jalla Shanu. This is that opportunity we have, and this is the message that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each and everyone seated here is an envoy of Islam, an advocate of the deen. We don't have to be ulama in order to convey the message. We just need to have kalimatul Islam, la ilaha illallah, بَلِّهُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. حضرت ولانا ندوي رحمة الله عليه, أبو الحسن ندوي رحمة الله عليه, was in Canada, in Toronto. And I heard it on the cassette addressing the Muslim community, especially those who were from the Indo-Pak. And he tells them, Allah has sent you to this country. You did not come on your own. You were appointed by Allah with a message. As much as Allah had appointed his Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Allah has been favorable on the believers when he had appointed, the word appointment, a Nabi for mankind. Likewise, you as an Ummah, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You have been evolved for mankind. Where a Nabi was appointed, You as an ummati, you are being evolved for a set purpose. Allah sent you to Canada with a message to convey it to the indigenous community. You have not come here to mine out from the gold and silver, or to add to the science and technology of the country. There were enough manpower for that. You were not required, there was no shortage in those departments. Certainly, you have come to convey a message. South Africa, we have the gold, now there's no gold also left, so it's fine. We are more free than what it was before. We have not been brought over here to mine out from the gold mines over here. Rather, from the heart, they are golden personalities. They are golden people. They have a potentiality to convey this message to not only Africa, but in every other continent of the world. If we can harness that opportunity, we have won. This is one aspect of it. Don't want to go, time is limited. Second point is that أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْحَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. We already heard in detail. Hazrat Mawlana Raghi Sahib, Allah Ta'ala reward him, he had the courage, he addressed it very openly and plainly to the scholars of Islam. I would like to generalize the same point. Obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wala tanaza'u, and do not conflict with each other. فَتَفْشَلُ, you're going to become faint-hearted. وَتَذْحَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, and your power is going to depart. وَصْبِرُ, be steadfast. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah is with those who are steadfast. Respected friends, this unity is a gradual degenerating malady in which both the parties lose out to the enemy. Mark my words. I'll just repeat it. This unity is a gradual degenerating malady in which both the parties, wherever there is going to be disunity, there are two parties. Both of we lose out, and it goes to the enemy enjoys the fruits of it. This is exactly what, on 9/11, this was already been discussed, where we are going to disunite the Muslim Ummah and select certain scholars who will be willing to compromise and even divorce and depart from the spirituality of Islam. And they already found them. Let me tell you. Because I have a habit of going into the internet and seeing and then listening. The same scholars, some even ulama. Some even ulama sitting with suit and tie, and compromising the religion, testifying the non-Muslim against Islam. Are we going to continue? يُوشَكُ الْأُمَمُ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْآكِلَةُ عَلَىٰ قَسْأَتِهَا. Soon, a day is coming when the ummah, when the nations will get together, they will combine on a feast. One single feast. All the communities will come together, collaborating with one each other. They will sit on the one single feast to enjoy the meal. The meal is going to be a Muslim himself. كَمَا تَدَاءَ الْآكِلَةُ إِلَىٰ قَصْأَتِهَا. They are going to call each other towards this meal. Sahaba Ikram were amazed, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa min qillatin nahnu. Will we be in a minority at that stage when this will become the scene of Islam in a Muslim? فَقَالَ النَّبِي عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ كَثِيرٍ. ولكنكم غصاء كغصاء الطير. Not so, O my companions. You will be in great number. Plus 1 billion plus, you will be in great number. ولكن, but your situation will be like the scum of the flood waters. The floods are moving on the top of hay and grass. There is no weight at all. You will be floating on the flood waters. ينزع الله تعالى من صدور عدوكم المحاربة منكم ويقذف في قلوبكم البهن. Allah جل شانه will remove your awe from the hearts of the enemy, the kafir. And he will cast wahan into your heart. مَلْ وَحْنُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is this wahan, O Nabi of Allah? وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حب الدنيا وكراهة الموت. Lust for materialism, lust and greed. Where you even start with your own policies, it does not matter. We have the opportunity to enjoy ourselves while the grazing is the opportunities are there. And you will dislike death. Who will dislike death? Only those who have invested in this world, those who have invested for the akhirah, look forward for the akhirah. This is why Allama Iqbal also had mentioned in 1930 in Allahabad, in his presidential report addressing the All India Muslim League. He had mentioned in terse words that today, if you have to focus your vision on Islam today, if you have to focus your vision on Islam and seek the ever revitalizing energies of Islam, you will succeed in rearranging and reorganizing your tethered forces and regaining your lost credibility. We have lost much. Already in South Africa we have lost much. From the Tabligh point of view, who does not know what is happening? It is a sad scenario. It was that vehicle that has brought us and made us sit here today. Wallah, had it not been Tabligh, I would not be sitting here. We have it, it's touching our heart. There is a tug of war. Then from the ulama point of view, the division, the ummah is waiting for guide. Who should be guide? Who are the leaders? This is the reason why we need to now reunite. We have to work with a single force. مولانا اللہ آپ کو جزائے خیر نصیب فرمائے. جو بات میرے دل میں تھی مجھے معلوم نہیں تھا کہ آپ نے اسی نقطے کو اتنے وزن کے ساتھ, اللہ تعالیٰ آپ کو جزائے خیر. There is a need. I've been sitting with مولانا. We have been crying over it, both of us. We had opportunities discussing the same issue from different angles. How can we resolve it in the next future? Last few minutes now towards our young students, as they have scattered. They are scared. The reason for being scared is that 2-3 days ago I told them, and Insulam Walana Ashraf Ali Khan, that the day before the Jalsa, when he was qualifying, Walana Ashraf Ali Khan was the luminary of the time, he and his colleagues. So they decided we're going to approach our Ustad Mawlana Yaqub Rahmatullah Ali that we must not convene a Jalsa tomorrow because we are unqualified. Remember, he was an author himself and a personality of high. He says, we are unqualified, we don't deserve for this Jalsa and all the qualification and certification. So when they approached Mawlana Yaqub Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Yaqub Rahmatullah Ali said that not only are we going to call you on the stage, we're going to announce it to the audience that whoever wants to debate on whichever topic with any of our students, is welcome to come in debate, whether it is on Tafsir, or Hadith, or Quran. Or, so, are we ready? They are ready, but they are not shy. They are already qualified, inshaAllah. Jalla shanuhu, all I left them my last before we made the dua of Bukhari or after this. That listen, this is a beginning to an end. It is not an end to a beginning. Your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came down from Hira, from Ghari Hira, what was his announcement? Remember, he received the first verse, five verses of the Quran, Iqra bismi. That means to say, Iqra bismi, learn and read, which had to do with knowledge. When he came down, the first announcement is, La rahata ba'da al-yawm. Will you sage? Sage. Say all of you. La rahata ba'da al-yawm. Allah will make it a reality. Even if we have to say it verbally, who knows? Allah will allow it to penetrate your heart and you will become that scholar of where the Muslim Ummah will be able to see the dividends. The same public, they have invested for you, it is time for you to reinvest it. You need to give them the dividends. So far, why I say it's a beginning to an end is because we, as a jamia, only taught you how to swim in the swimming pool of your father. And under that swimming pool, though there are mosaics, but they are not pearls. Under that swimming pool, there are mosaics. Don't be bluffed, that I can see something, there are diamonds and pearls at the bottom. It's all mosaics. You know how to swim in your father's swimming pool. You haven't. If you really want to become a lifesaver in a true sense of, may Allah make all the ulama of the entire world, we have an opportunity. Kufra, jatke ki mar, they call it. Kufra, because it's got no, it has, this is a defeatist attitude. What they are expressing in the whole world, from different angles, it is just like a cow that is now to be slaughtered. And in doing so, that cow is going to kick, because it is a question of life or death. And in doing so, sometimes it will kick its own young too. That one, you may go. It's a question of my life. Respected friends, this is what is happening. They are kicking their own villagers, discarding it from their lives with the pretext of addressing the situation with the Muslims. However, you need to now, from tomorrow onwards, go to Durban and go into the deep seas to learn how to become pearl fishing. Follow? Polana will arrange, he will arrange the bus. I hope you come back alive. Don't get drowned. I'm giving you a message, please read in between the lines. Pearl fishing. That is where you will get the pearl, in the deep waters. And that is when you and I will become true lifesavers of the Ummah. After today, you have the Ummah, that is your deep waters. That is where the sharks are. That is. You won't find sharks in your father's swimming pool. There's no sharks. There are sometimes some places I've seen dolphins, but that also was only in mosaic. So we all to learn. There's expectations. The Jamia has got hopes. It has invested from every angle, financially, manpower, this way, that way. One day, maybe, one pearl will be born from here. Therefore, may Allah Ta'ala make it a reality. May Allah Ta'ala give you acceptance, you, your parents, and your ummah, wherever you may Allah Ta'ala allow you to become beacons of lightning. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.
Now, for our time to keep in we will take a break for 10 minutes and we will be able to have a second session of the Dharma Hall, Dharma Hall, and we are finished.